conferences or there's nothing at the end of this thing?
Can I have you talk to my homeowner's carrier?
Am I missing on something?
This seems to have gone the
opposite direction. Sorry, I don't have much left with that.
Now you have free time on the 21st.
We don't have any staff comments or?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Go down.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Did you drive over with Scott?
My ears are clogged. Say what?
Where's that bridge going to?
All right. Staff report on miscellaneous, starting with Christina. Raleigh?
I know, please.
Alexis?
So with the benefit statements, those went out. We have a few corrections that need to take place. We have about 4 or 5 where there was a data conversion issue that took place and overwrote some of Siegel's programming that they offered, and it grabbed the wrong tier on page 3. And then we have about 25 where the contribution caps need to be fixed. It also had to do with part of the data conversion and then also the information of the past 2 former members handling that step not being forwarded on, and it wasn't handled on that aspect. So it's something that we have identified, and we'll make sure that it takes place.
Do we directly outreach to the affected employees and apprise them of the situation? I think probably a dumb question, but I just want to make sure we do.
Yes, there's going to be a letter that goes out and then also corrected.
With a corrective statement.
Okay. Yeah, there'll be a corrective statement. What happened on some of them was for the prepper tiers where there's the compensation max for the year, like this year it's $117,200. Once they exceeded that, they stopped paying contributions, but the service credit that was provided to Siegel, who actually ran the benefit statements, those additional month or months weren't included in service credit, so it was inaccurate.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, we are definitely doing outreach to them. We are having revised member statements produced. In the past, we would do provide an estimate and not actually revise a member statement. We are giving them brand new statements.
Okay, yeah, that'll probably shorten the number of calls to Jerry.
They're actually active.
These are all active.
Oh, these are active.
Okay. Yeah.
So it'll be shortening my calls.
They still might call Jerry.
Yes. Sorry.
I got a separate issue.
Something you want
to? No. When it comes to trustee comments, I'll bring it up.
Okay. Henry?
Just to follow up on the audit committee, we're wrapping up the audit report. It's we're building the documents, we're gathering all the info, meet the criteria for another year of the GFOA award, so things are looking really good. It will be available for our next board meeting, July 13th.
Okay, thank you. Tim?
Nothing.
Okay, and?
Cam.
And Karen.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see Karen.
I don't have a book report.
So we will, at the next board meeting, we will have the external auditor, Brown Armstrong, here giving their report on the 2015 audit. And we will also have draft CAFRs for everyone as well.
Good.
There will be a SD Sarah picnic coming up. You will be receiving your invitations to that. Last year was a
what's the date on that picnic?
It is escaping me.
July
30th.
July what?
30th.
We'll be here.
You'll get an email the first week of July. Saturday. It is.
Yeah, I'm out of town.
At the same place.
Yeah, same place as last year.
It's fun.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Yeah, it was a great picnic. We actually had really good turnout of staff. It was the first Cicero picnic that we'd had in a number of years.
You said same place. Where was that?
Rankin Park in Martinez.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I worked at Lucky's. We did company picnics. Maybe they could take executives in a dunk tank.
There will not be a dunk tank at this picnic.
I like that idea.
Hopefully though. You'll still come, but there might be.
Like the way you think.
The money room. To go to charity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Kids.
You have paper and trustee dunk tank, right?
No, I was not.
Trustee comments. Jerry?
Hopefully this won't come off as sounding like a eulogy, but I wanted to make a couple comments about Brian. Okay. So I wrote them out, so I don't trust myself to be overly glib. And this is not intended to be a eulogy, but the coincidental timing of Brian Hast's family trip to the Midwest and today's board meeting, which would have been his last as a Cicero trustee, prevents me from saying the following to him personally. Fortunately, I can still add my comments to the record. I've had the pleasure of knowing and serving with Brian on this board for nearly half of the 18 years that he's been a trustee. During that time, I've found him to be consistently professional, knowledgeable, reasonable, thoughtful, fair, respectful, attentive, and articulate. I've also found him to be very well informed on the varied, complicated, and often difficult matters that come before this board. More importantly, I've found him to be ever mindful of his primary, overarching, statutory responsibilities as a plan fiduciary. Some time ago, I concluded that the job of the Cicero trustee is relatively easy if you don't allow yourself to be confused by the facts, or simply ignore the law when it seems convenient. Thankfully, Brian never took the easy route during his tenure, nor, might I add, have any of my fellow trustees. I'm convinced that during the past 18 years, Brian has more than capably represented the many members who trusted and repeatedly re-elected him, the other active and retired members, and the plan itself. Cicero, its members, staff, and fellow trustees will sorely miss his professionalism, expertise, and experience, and I thank him personally for his service and for his friendship.
Well, and I think you should give that so it can be put verbatim into the minutes.
Yeah.
I really do.
As always,
I agree.
I always edit things.
That's fine. I think it's
in the minutes.
Even my own, especially my own stuff.
No, but yeah, or electronically.
Put it in the minutes.
After, but it really should be. Or I guess they can transcribe them from your oral.
Yeah.
Any further?
Yeah, two things. When is CAFRA, the Comprehensive Financial Report, going to be finished? When is that going to come out again?
We're building the document right now. It should be finished by the end of the week, maybe for
next
Monday,
meeting.
Tuesday, but we'll have it officially for our next meeting.
It'll be
July 13th.
Okay.
It's going through the final wordsmithing, edits, documentation.
We had to wait for the external auditor letter to be included in it.
So it's going to be next meeting, but will it be available to the beneficiaries of the system after that, or the hard copy I'm talking about? Thank you.
Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You. The next question I have, the individual that came last week and was talking about the COLA clawback,
Ken Sandy?
Yes, Tim. I really need some education on that. I'm starting to get questions about it, and there's some people concerned. Where do I go, and how can I get it?
You and I can talk about it afterwards.
All right. Good.
Okay. Gabe?
I'll bring up last meeting on that GASB 6768, we voted to go ahead and pull the administrative cost out of the normal cost. And I misunderstood what happened. I thought that we were taking it out of the normal cost and moving it over to a different line item. I come to find out it's not coming out of the normal cost. Basically, we're paying it twice. They're still paying it through the normal cost. Now it's an additional $8.1 million. Being paid was at 40% by the members, so about $3.2 million a year for the members, and then about $4.8 or so for the sponsors. So I met with John and Gil and John Monroe yesterday about it. And to John Monroe's credit, he said it's probably the most difficult presentation he's had to make to do with GASB. So what I requested, I was declined, but I did request to bring it back to the board. I'd like to discuss it further and also maybe have the sponsors here and maybe some labor groups, because I don't think anybody expected us to get another hit, anybody a hit of $8.1 million. So to me, they're double paying it. I asked John, why didn't you take it out of the normal cost, and he said that he doesn't really know what it is a normal cost, or no way to take it out. So that confused me, because one aspect you're saying it's in, the other aspect you're saying it's out. So anyway, I'd like to bring it up another meeting if we could.
I guess he's asking you to agendize.
Oh, well, no, I understand. I want to see first if there were any other comments. But
yeah, I had one other comment. I wanted to embrace all of Jerry's comments on Brian. I think we're going to really miss his wisdom and thoughtfulness on the whole range of issues that we discuss. I think it's going to be a major transition for us in that respect. I think I wish his successor well, but I do believe that we are going to miss Brian and surely thank him for his service, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to recognize him at some appropriate time.
Let me go back to Gabe's request. At least initially, I said I believed that the board had adequate information to make the decision it made, and that decision is now, that is the 40-60 split on the administrative costs between employers and members. The however part is that I ended up at the end of John's presentation, John Monroe's, really not being very comfortable about what increase occurred. And I think it's probably fair to say that when you get into the weeds of what would have been versus what will be, it is less than clear as it impacts an individual employee, individual member. So what I asked John to do as your chairman and to provide to Gail was a separate sheet, if you will, that might have gone into the presentation that we received. But for two illustrative employees, one general, one public safety, illustrating what would have happened had we not done that, and in other words, proceeded without the pullout of the cost on a 60-40 basis, and what will happen based on what the board has approved, so that we can really get to the heart of what I believe Gabe was very concerned about, which is that these are substantial additional costs, potentially substantial additional costs to members.
To the employer, I mean, to that, I would say I would, if you're going to have him go through that exercise, I would love to see the impact on employers as well, or at least on the county, the largest employer. Because, again, that was certainly my concern as we had that discussion as to how big a hit the employer was going to take, which impacts what we can put on the salary line for our employees.
And I'll say, it's my understanding that there isn't folks that are double paying. As far as pulling out the explicit, having the explicit rate, it's no longer implied and embedded in the normal cost. I think the key thing was, my understanding is that it wasn't a one-for-one, like, oh, automatically normal cost is going to go down by the same percent that the explicit cost is, the explicit load is going up. So I think that was acknowledged in the meeting, and I think that we had a good discussion, and I think that you know, John Monroe has been tasked with bringing back some educational information so that, you know, the whole board is comfortable with the decision that was made. And just that's kind of the next step.
And would that include what Candace was just talking about?
Okay. So, yeah. I'll make sure
we'll have
that
both expenses.
Stand back.
Yeah.
For years.
That's fine. Yeah.
Years, it's the admin expenses you pay the normal cost. Gatsby, and it said in his presentation, all this is in accounting, it's not dealing with costs, so we're just taking an accounting teacher moment here. So my assumption would be, okay, you're taking the admin costs out of the normal cost, you're going to move it over here, but you're still paying in the normal cost, so it's basically getting paid twice, and that's what my issue is.
These comments kind of support the fact that, you know, I'm hearing a bunch of different things, and I understood it differently myself. I understood it that these fees were always part of the investment return, that the gross investment term was then we take out the investment fees and the admin fees, and so that's the net return. And so to me, it's coming out of the assets, and the employer is responsible for making sure all the assets are there. And so if we pull them out, and you know, it's essentially making a UAL piece. So how I understood it is, we're taking the employer's UAL now, and now we're putting it on the backs of only active employees. That's how I understood it. I don't know if anyone else, I mean, I'm hearing different things from different people. So the fact that I have tremendous respect for John, but he did not seem comfortable answering those questions. And so if our actuary, our subject matter expert was having trouble, I think it's reasonable that, you know, 9 voting members and other trustees sitting here were not making the most informed vote. And so I support Gabe's recommendation that the chair consider re-agendizing the item.
Okay. At this point, I would wait until we get the information back from our actuary. And then we can make a decision at that point on whether or not we want to re-agendize this portion of it. I would say, conceptually, if the amount being contributed by members goes up, the amount being contributed by employers goes down. It's as simple as that. We don't have a net increase by reason of the way in which we are allocating costs.
That's why I want to see what the employer's contribution, because we're doing it a completely different way, where it's not just coming out of return on investment. So I'm curious, too, whether, in fact, I saw it as mine was going to go up as the employer, as well as the employees.
Right.
I knew very well everyone was going to take an additional hit, and when I went back to my CAO, to the county administrator, I said, you know, we have this new additional hit that we're going to have to address, even on top of some of our actuarial assumptions. So,
well, it was Gabe and Gail and John and I spent a challenging hour yesterday, and
sounds like none of us were talking about this.
I'll be darned
if away with
I was comfortable understanding quite what we did either. So the answer, at least in part, is to try and get some of the numbers down to ground level, okay? And that is the goal that we're going to try and do. You know, this was designed as, I thought, basically a different way of allocating what our cost would have been. And if that cost would have been a dollar, it's still a dollar, okay? And we're just allocating it differently now than we did in the past, by reason of what we voted for, and what is that differential?
And are you talking about administrative cost here?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're talking about the $8.1 million of...
Nobody directly paid it out of pocket because it was taken out of the interest earnings. Okay, so it wasn't billed to the employer or employee.
That's right.
But we didn't see it on the return. That's how we lost. But now you've taken it out of the investments, and you're asking us to pay directly as opposed to the investments paying for it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So on both ends, it's going to go up as a result.
Right. And it
should be borne by employer and employee. That's the question I'm hearing from Gabe.
And so
by how much each
year? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think Todd's point was, well, historically then, if we were rolling it into our investment returns, then in theory it all goes into the UAL, and so the employer gets stuck with that as they pay down the UAL.
Yep. And the investment return goes up, by the way.
So I also want to point out, this topic has not been agendized. I don't know if that's what Karen was going to point out.
Karen.
Okay.
I said it's a trustee comment agendized, so yes, I can't talk about it. We don't have to go any further.
Let me just make a comment here. This is a great discussion and a very interesting topic. Under trustee comments, they need to be concise and short. We really have to agendize this item so that the public has an opportunity and notice that we're going to be discussing this item, whether or not it's an action item. Make decisions about what is coming up on future agendas and how much information, additional information, like from the actuary at this point. I hate to recommend to cut off a discussion right now, but I am recommending that
And I think Gail has what she needs as far as what we need to, what we would like to get from our actuary, and at this point, let's stop this part of the trustee, or cease this part of the trustee comment, and are there any other comments? Let me, in closing, and Jerry, that was beautifully done on Brian.
Yeah.
You've all received notice that David McDonald won the election that he was competing with Brian for C2, and so we'll commence his service on the Cicero board starting with our July meeting. I and we, I know we'll miss Brian in all kinds of ways. You spelled those out beautifully, and I'm sorry he's not able to be here. I know he made his decision. For those of you not aware of it, he went back to Nebraska, I think it was. Yeah. His son is a manager on the Arizona baseball team, and he went back with his son to be part of the College World Series, and I know Arizona won one, and then I believe they lost.
Yep.
But the flight back was not until, I believe it's today, so that was the underlying reason why he was unable to be here for his last meeting. But
starting to get used to teams losing.
He will be missed.
Go Giants.
Yeah. We need to adjourn the meeting in honor of Brian Hask.
That's a wonderful idea.
That's a great idea. Gabe, did you have the same thought?
Yes.
Okay. Ask for approval and adjourning the meeting in recognition of Brian's 18 years of great contribution to Cicero's board and the fact that he will be missed in the future. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
So moved.
Second. I know. I thought we were going to start at 8:00, and I'm like, well, it's kind of great.